money? Well, first of all, you may give the gift of reverence to your parents. We know that in Ephesians, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, 2 and 3, it says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Well, what is that promise? That promise is that you may live long on the earth. In other words, you should always show respect to your parents. Although parents should be worthy of honor, but even at times when you may be disappointed in them, it is God's will that you show the proper respect for those who are the source of your life and who provided for you in the days of your helplessness. Now, the term honor speaks of action. This term speaks of attitude, as Paul deals with the motive behind the action, which is when God gave his law in the Ten Commandments, the first law governing human relationship was this one, according to Exodus 20 and 12 and Deuteronomy 5 and 16. In other words, it's the only command of the ten that relates to the family, because that principle alone secures the family fulfillment. Although submission to parents should be, first of all, it should be for the sake of the Lord. And so the first gift that you can give to your parents that is more valuable than one that you can purchase with money is that of reverence and honor. Well, the second, you may give the gift of obedience to your parents. Now, in this sixth chapter of Ephesians, Paul starts out by saying, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. But now, I use honor first because there's a difference between obeying and honor. Because to obey means you do what you're told, but to honor means to respect and love. But children are to obey their parents because God has appointed parents not only to be providers, but also the instructors of their children. My brothers and sisters, everything begins at home, because it's the basic unit in our society, before state, before school, as well as the church. You ought to start teaching your children at home. Don't wait till they get to school, or don't wait till they come to church, but you ought to start teaching them at home. In other words, God is holding parents responsible for instructing their children in the ways that are good and right. But now, children and young folk, God is holding you responsible for being obedient to your parents. Now, from this first verse, it is implied here that the only instance in which you would be free to disobey parents would be in a situation in which they're asking you to do something wrong, that which is contrary to the will of God or the character of Jesus Christ. But behind almost all requests that come from parents is a desire for the well-being of their children. Although there may be times when prohibitions that parents give may be misunderstood and you might not appreciate them, and you may feel and it could be that that your parents are, that you are more intelligent than your parents, but even if you are, at least they've lived longer than you. And so when they don't allow you to go to certain places, to hang out with certain groups, they're not just being mean, but they're actually looking out for your welfare. Because perhaps somewhere in their own lives, they got caught up in the wrong crowd, and perhaps they did some wrong things because they were disobedient to their parents, and they caused their parents some pain and misery. And so they're trying to keep you from...
It is our hope that you were blessed by Pastor's message. Join us at our regular service weekly at 808 Anacoco Street, Leesville, Louisiana, or phone us at 337-238-4954. May God bless and keep you until we meet again.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio.
It's gonna be all right.
at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress. Hope for all I do.
The Lord, I am that I am. Glory to God. Glory to God. If you'll get your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord, at this glorious and wonderful time of the year where we celebrate the birth of Christ, I want to call your attention to the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 1. St. Luke, chapter 1. I want to commence reading at verse 26. I recorded of these words. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary. For thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to talk from the subject, Understanding Your Season, Part 2. Understanding Your Season, Part 2. As I stated earlier, it is so important for the saints to understand their season, its purpose, its period, its power. When you understand your season, that God has given to you specifically and deliberately, you will understand that in that season, God always gets maximum glory and you the goods. Part one dealt with helping us to understand your season, dealing with the fact, if you look at chapter 1, verse 11, as we read through verse 25, there are three things with part one that I think you ought to list. So as you continue on your study of understanding your season, you'll have this with it. One, you must understand that your season is supernaturally appointed. Supernaturally appointed. You can't schedule your own season. You can't appoint your own season. You can't dictate your own season. God does that. But then secondly, you need to know that your season is sovereignly authorized, meaning that God is the one who authorizes your season and the devil can't do nothing about it. God sovereignly authorizes your season, always with a purpose for his glory and the good that you shall participate in and those who God has assigned you to. But then the third thing you need to understand about your season is that your season is always scheduled to arrive. It don't just haphazardly show up. It doesn't just haphazardly appear. God schedules your season. Now that means if God is doing that, God's got this thing fixed. And if God has got this thing fixed, then the best thing you can do is understand how he fixed it, so that you will be able to operate within the confines of his word, his will, and his way, and not be frustrated waiting on your season to come. Now when we look at part two here, you're going to see that Gabriel, who in the first section and part of our scripture study, went to Elizabeth, who is John's mother, who is the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And he announces to his father, Zacharias, that his season was coming, that John would be presented so that he, of course, could fulfill scripture and tell the world that Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God and to prepare his path and make him straight. His ministry and his mission was to prepare the way of Jesus who was coming behind him. Jesus said, though I was first, I was first, Jesus was prepared before me. In other words, I know my place, I know my position, I know what my purpose is. I have been sent to announce and to present the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. So understanding this, now 6 months later after Gabriel, the angel who stands in the presence of God, who takes orders and gives those things in God's charge to him as only he has given, he then goes to Mary 6 months later after he has gone to Zechariah and given the news that they would have a child. He now shows up to Mary. Now what's different is how Mary and Zechariah receive the news. And my brothers and sisters, first of all, both of them received Gabriel with fear, because they had never had such a divine visitation before, and certainly they were fearful. And the first command was, fear not. Because fear stands in the way of your blessings, of your visions, of your flowing. And so he deals with the fear factor first. And then he says, again, let's go back to scripture, verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, when you know that the Lord is with you, that ought to be enough to make you shout right there. Blessed art thou among women. Why is she blessed among women? Mary, at this point, doesn't understand the salutation. She doesn't understand the greeting, and yet Gabriel makes clear that she is highly one favored of the Lord. So one of the things that you're going to understand about when your season come in, you are then favored, not just as other folk are, but in your season, you are highly favored. How many experience the favor of God daily or often? But can I tell you, in your season, you are highly favored.
highly favored. Tell somebody I'm highly favored in my season. Now just remember, you said you're highly favored in your season. So don't hate on somebody else who's highly favored in their season and you're waiting on yours to come. Amen. Now listen to this well. You are highly favored in your season. Listen at this well. And he tells her that the Lord is with her, which is one of the best consolations one can have, not just to be favored by God, but to have God with you, to have God think enough of you to deal and dwell with you. Listen again at what he says to her. He says, and the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is, not was, not will be, but is with thee. And then he says, Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his what? Saying, because she didn't understand it. The word says, and she cast or considered in her mind what manner of salutation or greeting this should be. So that means, and it gives vent to the fact that she had no idea what Gabriel was going to tell her. But one of the things that should have given her a helpful holy hint was it was good news. Because when he starts off saying you are highly favored and God is with you and blessed art thou among women, can't no bad news come behind that kind. Y'all don't hear? When the Lord's got something good to tell you, he don't come with a salutation that's any different from that would bring you an encouragement and upliftment in spirit. If God's going to tell you something bad, he ain't going to send an angel or speak a word to you that's going to be of this magnitude. No, he ain't going to start it off like this and then turn it and flip the script on you. So he starts off by telling she's highly favored. God is with her. And she's blessed among women, meaning that of all of the women in the world, all of the women that God has created on this earth, she has been chosen to be the highest among them. Now, let me tell you what makes you valuable to God. Now, get this clearly. Understand. Anybody talking to him, tell him, shut up right now. You won't hear this. What makes you valuable to God, what makes you esteemed and highly favored to God is not you, but what God places in you. That's it. That's it. You see, she was highly favored of the Lord. The Lord was with her. She was blessed among women because of what God chose to put or place in her. So in other words, whenever God lifts you up, it's not because of you he's lifting you up, but it's because of what he's put in you that he's lifting you up, because it is in that same vein that we understand that we are what God wants us to be, has designed us to be, has destined us to be, according to his word, his will, and his way. So we can never take the credit for any greatness that God has placed in us of ourselves. Because what he did in you, he could have very well have done in somebody else. And look at this, because God does not choose the princess to do this to. He does not choose those who are of the upper echelon. He does not choose the most intelligent, the most beautiful, the most this, the most that, all of the other natural things that were going for that person and then just added to them. He picks a low handmaid, which meant she was a servant. Bypassed all of the high ups and went down to the little low and said, you are highly favored. I'm trying to tell you, Mary might have been like Cinderella scrubbing floors. She was a handmaiden, which means she had a woman of the house who she took directions and instructions from. She served. She wasn't the woman. She cleaned up for the woman. And no matter what you see and say, God is no respecter of person. And God did this of his own choosing. When you are highly favored, it means that God himself thinks you something else. And I don't care what man thinks about it. If God thinks you something else, you are something else. Anybody in here that know God knows you something else? Oh, it'll give you some serious attitude when you know you are God's child. You are, oh Lord, you something, but I'm something else. Oh, somebody ought to hear me here. Not because of me, but because of what he chose to do in me. So that keeps him getting the glory. And if I keep giving him the glory, he keeps on adding the goods to me because I'm something else. That's how you got to see yourself. And you're going to see Mary sees this after a while. Only after God does in her what he chooses to do. Highly favored. Say highly favored. In my season. Now look again. Look at what the word says. Verse 29. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary. Deals with that fear factor first. For thou hast, past tense, found favor with God. Thou hast. You ain't got to do nothing else. He's already watched your walk. He's already heard your talk. He's already observed your life. And you've already found favor with the Lord. Now listen at this. Listen at this. It suggests, and Gabriel makes clear to her, that God is always watching. God is always looking, which is another thing that you need to be careful about and understand. You ain't got to ever worry about your season passing you by. Mary was unaware that the Lord was watching her. You may know God is watching you in this context because you have the word. She didn't have what you have available to you today. So maybe she did not have this awareness that we have. But know this, and know this clearly, that when you belong to God and you obey God, you don't have to worry about your season passing you by. Zechariah and Elizabeth found out that your season might not come till late life. But with your season will come joy and gladness. And I can tell you, whether you're young, middle-aged, or old-aged, when your season come joy and gladness, in addition to all of the benefits and fruitfulness of your season, will come with it. That's why you don't have to get in a hurry and be rushing your season, number one, because you can't rush it, but you can frustrate yourself trying to rush your season and cause yourself to go through unnecessary heartache and heart pain and headache trying to get something before it's time. So listen at this, because Zechariah and Elizabeth had given up on their season thinking it had passed them by because he was now of old age and she was past childbearing years, he just assumed that God would not answer his prayer, his season would never come, and he forgot about it. And Gabriel showed up when he least expected, when he was going through doing the operation of his job, ministering in the temple, taking care of his responsibilities, taking care of God's house. God showed up while he was working in the person of Gabriel and told him, I have heard your prayer and I'm going to give you a son and you shall call his name John. And Gabriel gave this message so clear to Zechariah that Zechariah could not believe it, and he began to doubt, how can this thing be when I'm an old man and my wife is well stricken with age? And he doubted the Lord, and the angel of the Lord, Gabriel, shut his mouth for 9 months and would not let him speak. Instead of him getting the news that God has appointed your season, that he has authorized your season, that your season shall arrive, and instead of Zacharias praising the Lord, he doubted, the angel shut his mouth up. Because I want to say to you, my brothers and sisters, you got to learn when to praise the Lord. You got to learn that in the faith arena, you don't have to wait till you see it to rejoice, to praise, to give God glory. And if you can't rejoice at the giving of the word of God that confirms that it's going to be so, and you can start rejoicing and praising then, if you got to see it before you start praising, you'll know better than the world. So because Zechariah didn't know how to praise at the right time, the angel of the Lord shut his mouth, and he did not learn it from his experience until the thing that the angel said would happen happened. And when he had given the experience the fullness of time, and the baby had come forth, and they had brought the baby to be circumcised on the eighth day, it is only after Zacharias wrote his name John down that the Bible says he had the ability to speak immediately, meaning that everything the angel said had come to pass. And when he did that, the first thing he did then was praise the Lord. Why the Lord got to beat you down for you to praise him? Why he got to bring you through stuff and let you see he is who he say he is before you'll learn how to praise him? Why you got to go through so much before you'll get so to the point where you're not ashamed to lift up holy hands, to rejoice, to give him glory? Why you got to go through all of this mess before you learn how to praise God on your own? Some of y'all better take heed to this. Because God wants you to understand he is worthy of his praise. Now look at Mary now. She's asking a question. The Bible says, again, let's finish at verse 30. It says, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Now, Gabriel told Zacharias that the son that they would bear would be named John. He's now telling Mary that the son that she shall bear will be named Jesus. Now listen at this, because it's important. Verse 32 says, he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. Not Joseph's son, the Son of the Highest. Which is the reason why he went to Mary first and not Joseph. Because though Joseph was a faithful and a noble and a righteous man, and he will deal with him later, God is dealing with her to help her understand that he has so highly favored her and chosen her. Humble as she was, low, meek, and humble was she, that God highly favored her, lifted her, raised her to the point where he would deposit in her the Son of the Almighty God in the earth realm, in her womb, and it would be done by him, by the Holy Ghost. And all of this is made clear, and the throne of his father David will he give to him forever. This is what the word says, verse 33, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now look at what Mary says now. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Now, notice again how Gabriel presents this salutation to Mary. Hail, listen to this, thou that art highly favored, past tense, the Lord is with thee, present tense. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed, happy art thou among women. Now, all of this salutation does not apply to Mary in Mary's mind, in Mary's heart. This is a salutation for royal, regal folk, not low, meek, and humble folk. So now she's confused. Now there is a difference. She's not denying the power. She's not surprised that God is doing what he's doing. She's just confused. Now, you know, when we have questions, only God can answer the questions that we have. We don't have to assume stuff. God will show it to us. Now, she wants to know, how shall this thing be? Notice what she says. How shall this be? She doesn't say, no, Lord, this can't be. Notice the question. Y'all not hear me. How shall this thing be? Which means, I hear you, I know it's going to happen, but how is this going to happen? That's her question. She's not in any way denying that it will happen. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost, he's answering her question now, shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing, or holy one, which shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God. He's saying, Mary, listen, I know this. I know that you're a virgin, and I know that I'm speaking to you of this that shall happen, but I want you to know that this is not going to be of natural means. It is going to be of supernatural means, and all that God's going to do, he's going to do in you through the Holy Ghost. And so the reality is, and she had a right to ask, I might throw out parenthetically, since it had never happened before. and it has not happened since. No, there was no precedence before that. This was the precedence. And so God's going to do this new thing, and he's going to allow the Holy Ghost to come on her and to overshadow her and to bring her to a point of conceiving and bearing the Son of Almighty God. So this was something no one had ever heard of before or experienced before. And so Mary just wanted to know, how was it going to happen? Because Mary thought that though she was espoused or engaged to be married, she and Joseph had never ever been intimate. So how was she going to bring forth the Son of God when in fact Joseph himself was a natural man, a human man? He was not a supernatural man. So how could you get a supernatural thing out of a natural thing? But what she didn't understand is, in order, because God can do